Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Glad to see all of you here this morning. Are you glad to be here? I'm glad to be here. Talk about that a little later. Well, there's a special opportunity that we get as a ministry, and that is to celebrate and to come in agreement with God's calling on men and women of God, and to just say yes and to pray with them and to acknowledge what God has already done in a person's life. And this morning, John Johnson, we're going to ordain him this morning as a minister of the gospel. Yeah, that's good. And I just want to say a little bit about that before we do it. And it's this. Ordination is something that God has already done. It's not something that we came up with. So we're not having a ceremony. We're acknowledging an appointment that God has already made in John's life. And so we're coming in agreement with that. John has been someone that has been committed to the will of the Lord. He and Teresa have been serving the Lord for a long time. And we didn't decide to do this in a hasty sort of manner. We've been working with John now for a while. And John's been faithful. He's been with us since, I think, 2006. He and Teresa and working in prophetic ministry and just serving. And if you could have seen John yesterday when he came back, I caught him at the back door when they went out treasure hunting, the three of them yesterday, and they went into all kinds of different environments, and God gave them things to look for in people, and they would go minister to those people and share the gospel with them and pray for healing or speak prophetically into their lives. And so they came back yesterday, and I was just spending time here with the Lord, and I happened to look out the back, and John and Sue said, "You got to hear what happened." And so they came up and started sharing, but that's just typical. If you know John, you know that he's a passionate man for Jesus, and he gets very excited. And I love that. There's been times I've been weary, and his excitement has proportioned me upward. And it was awesome. And so, John, I need you to come on up here. John has also qualified himself by his character in a big way. You can come up here and just stand, face them, because you're going to be serving them. He's been faithful in this ministry, and he's been faithful in the church. I love who he is. I love who Teresa is. And so we're going to begin to pray for him, and we're going to anoint him, and we're going to ordain him this morning because it's, again, something God has already done. John has a heart to lead, and John has a heart to serve, and he has a heart to share the gospel. So all of you are a part of this. I want to bring up the core leaders, and if you come up, we want to pray over him. And John, let's just come down here for a minute. John's brother's here. Teresa, come on up. You got to be part right here next to your honey. John's brother, would you like to come up also? Come on up. Pastors, why don't you all just stand right now? And Johanna, get up here. Zach, come on. Let's just gather around him, and we're going to pray and come in agreement again. What God has already decided and God has already done. I'm going to get in the front here. Everybody lay hands on him. Let me get around you here. Everybody extend their hands. All the pastors here, all the leaders here, extend your hands. Lord Jesus, I just come before you with this great honor, and we anoint John and proclaim the calling that you have on his life. We come in agreement with that. You have appointed him to serve, to minister the gospel, to minister the prophetic, to serve the body of Christ. This has been a desire for him for a long, long time. And Lord, you have shifted things. You, Stan, and others to pour into him, to prepare him. But most of all, Holy Spirit, you have prepared him. And so I just ask today that your presence would fall down as we anoint him and lay hands on him. And we say yes to what you have for him, God. We say yes to your calling in his life. We're just going to keep praying.
Lord, I thank you for John. Lord, I thank you for the high calling. Lord, I thank you for the priesthood calling that's upon him, Lord, to minister to you. Lord, I thank you for him and Teresa, Lord, and their yes in their hearts to serve you, God. So, Lord, I thank you for his yes to serve you and to serve your people, Lord, to love on your people. Lord, I thank you for the way he loves your people. So, Lord, we say yes, and we agree with the high calling of pastoring upon him, Lord. Jesus.
John and Teresa, I've known both of you for 20 years, since the middle 90s. And even at that time, you could recognize the call upon your life and the ministry that the Lord was establishing within you, the heart for the lost, the excitement and the zeal that you have for him. Today, I just want to come in agreement with that calling he's had upon your life for all those years, that this is the day of the fulfillment of it, where man comes in recognition of what Jesus has already done in your life, and we say yes to it. We say yes, we're in agreement with it. As we ordain you this day, we just establish that before man, who Jesus, who created you to be this day, and we bless you in it. Amen.
This morning during worship, I heard the Lord say that there is a demonic agenda against the body of Christ right now that's sowing discouragement, relational chaos, just a sense of darkness in the natural. And I heard Jesus say, my people have to have a laser vision to focus on me, to focus on my provision, to focus on my hope and my plans, and to be faithful before God. And John and Teresa, I felt like God say, as a couple, you are anointed by God to be prophetic hope ambassadors. As you go out, you bring hope and you bring reconciliation to people between them and God, and you release the kingdom of God upon them. So, Lord, we anoint them today as a body to be prophetic hope ambassadors in this region and throughout wherever you send them, God. I just pray for power to be released right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask right now that there would be an anointing that would begin to flow to them and through them from heaven right into the region around here now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that that anointing would pierce the darkness and that would bring light, the light of your countenance and the light of your hope, and sowing faith and love into people's lives. Lord, we ask you right now that you would increase the prophetic mantle upon them as a couple and as a family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you for my brother John. I've known him for 57 years and change. And Lord, I've seen him go through some struggles, and I've seen him remain faithful. I think back even to his days in high school when he was willing to take risks to proclaim your name and suffer ridicule for you. And Father, I thank you that you've continued to raise him up. God, I thank you that for the gifts that you've placed in him and in Teresa and in their family. Father, I pray that you would just continue to open doors, Lord. I thank you for the heart that he carries. I thank you, Father, for the church family that he has around him and the kind of support that can come from that, and just for the power and the prayer that go with being part of a church family that's focused on you. Father, I pray that you would just continue to bring growth to John and Teresa and Johanna and Zach, and Father, through that to people around them in whose lives you're entwining with theirs. Father, in all this, may you get honor and glory above everything else.
So with the prayer, here's a certificate of ordination, Pastor John. There you go. Amen. God bless you, brother.
I never pass up an opportunity to share. I just really want to, for one thing, just say what my brother prayed about, being a part of a family. I just felt that again this morning when I came in here. It's like, wow. God, thank you for the family you've put me in. All the differences, such a variety of people. God's body is so unique in that. There's such a variety of people, yet you see giftings and special things about each one. And just again, I just want to give you an invitation to come and join us on Saturday mornings when we go treasure hunting. Yesterday, the Lord showed me, just kind of put in my heart, this is what you're going to be doing during the millennial reign. You're going to be out there sowing seeds and increasing the government of God that's in Jerusalem where Jesus is reigning. We're going to be a part of that, and we're going to be just out in the streets. And the Holy Spirit guides you to where to go, and then you start praying for people, and you're speaking words of life over them and turning their hearts to the King. Till the whole government, till the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. So just what an opportunity. And so just again to extend an invitation to my family, 9:45 Saturday morning we'll meet here. All right. Love you guys.
That's awesome. Yes, and we're going to have, you can extend the hand of fellowship afterwards. We're going to have coffee and cake out in the foyer out there. So make sure that you get with us and don't leave so quickly. Oh, Michael, couldn't you keep playing? Could you play for me? I need you, Mike. Just feels better. Amen. Well, that surely was a privilege. Amen. It always is. So this morning, this message has been brewing a little bit in me for about a week or two. And a week ago Tuesday, some of you know, some of you don't know, but I had suffered a mini stroke. And when that happened, you know, you lose absolutely all control. And it was a scary moment. Lost vision a little bit and lost control of the left side of my body. And my son was there, and he got me to the ER quickly. And within about 3 hours, things seemed to be under control. And I can go into the whole diagnosis of everything. I don't need to do that right now. Just accept that it feels real good preaching. And not that it would, it's a win-win situation, just so you guys know. But it sure is good to be up here and just to share my heart with you. And so this morning wasn't a, I heard this Saturday morning when I was preparing and in the prayer room, and my heart has always been for God's people. It's always been about getting people prepared. And I heard this phrase, I think it's about me, and I think it's probably about many of you. I really don't like to, I love the word, but I don't like preparing sermons. I like preparing people, and that's my heart. That I'm more about preparing people for the things of God and who they're called to be and getting their gaze upward and saying it's always going to be about Jesus and always will be. But it's not really about preparing a sermon. It's about preparing all of you and my family for the days ahead, for the days right now. And so one of the best ways that I can do that is to encourage you this morning about God's Word and about the living Word and about Jesus. And so, again, Voice Ministries has been about preparing people. Last week, I heard all the great reports of what happened when Londa did the value exchange here and was equipping you with a tool. The week before, Stan spoke about the prophetic and dreams and equipping you and bringing understanding of some of the callings and the things that God has for you. For years and years and years, we've been doing seminars and conferences to prepare people And you've heard my old saying that I say still today, God's preparing you for what he has prepared for you. I bet I said that 1,000 times. And that's exactly what he's doing right now in this moment. He's preparing you for what he has prepared for you, if you will grab hold of it and bring it down. Because it's available to you. His hand is available to you right now. It's available to you right now. It's not a game. It's not religion. It's about encountering the risen King. I'm going to talk a little bit more in a moment about that. For years, again, we've been saying it's all about Jesus. And I stand before you today and say it is all about Jesus. And it will always be about Jesus. Always and forever. So if you'll turn to John, the Gospel of John, I'm going to read a segment of Scripture, and then I'm going to share with you a little bit about that. This is an amazing word. I could just take time, and maybe I'll come back in the next week or two and just go through this word and just break it down. But in the first couple verses, it's the deity of Christ being explained and brought forth. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always been. Jesus is the living Word of God. That's who he is. On the way into a prayer meeting, worship time in the house of prayer, I kept hearing over and over, like, oh, if I can thirst the way that when I get so thirsty, if I can thirst like I thirst for water, and if I can hunger like I hunger for food, and if I can thirst and hunger that way for God's Word, where would I be? And so I've been asking God, increase that in my life. Forgive me for not allowing it to shine upon my pathway more and to shine into my heart and to give me direction every day. But I want to say this. We are bombarded. What Dave Raymer got about the attack and what the enemy's trying to do right now to steal away the Word of God from the people of God, and or maybe just apply certain little areas of the Word of God that fits in how we're living, or helps us compromise because we don't have the fullness of the Word. The Word of God has to be something that we, everyone in this room, that we, it's a treasure to us, and we let it have its way with us. But we're fought. Matter of fact, I can't remember the scripture. It was back here. Zechariah 13:7. It says that the enemy will strike the shepherds. And whoever is called to be a shepherd and who's ever leading, the enemy is going to strike them much harder than many of the people in the midst of that gathering. Not that they won't experience warfare, because they will. But the scripture is going to strike the shepherds. And they want to scatter all the little ones. I'm at the end of my message, okay? I don't know why, but here I am. The reason I'm saying that is because so many of us in this room have been offended by leaders and by pastors. And some have reason to be. But you need to know that the enemy is striking them very hard to pull them away. And when they fail you, or when they let you down, and it affects you and it hurts you, because it does, and you begin to respond to it, and you respond to it in the midst of all your children, and you start talking about how this leader let you down because they hear everything in the midst and this, that, and the other, and you start putting things down, then all of a sudden the children, they have no desire to be a part of what you're a part of because they hear what you're going through. We're going to come back to that. Because I think God wants to heal that in us today. He wants us to be free of that. And some of us feel like God's let us down. We need to be free of that. Back to the word. I didn't even start reading, really. Just the first part. Let me read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, Jesus. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, the tree of life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness. He was a forerunner, to bear witness of the light, that although him, all through him, excuse me, might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Goes back to verse 1. Was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. He's going to be human forever. He chose to come away from that. He's going to have knees and teeth and ears forever. He chose to be a human forever, to dwell among us. We beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he who of whom I said, he who of his after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." The point of looking at this scripture is for you and I to understand that when we read the Word, we're reading the living Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. He has always been the Word. And God wants you to wage war against everything that's distracting you from being in His Word. I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. For your sake, for your family's sake, for the future that you have in Him. Jesus, the living Word. There's another scripture, I won't go to it. It's in Amos chapter 8, 11 and 10. And it says that there's a famine in the land. And it says the famine is not water or not bread. The famine is the Word of God. And I believe that we are living right now increasingly in a society that the famine of the Word of God is happening all around us. And if we don't get very, very, very serious about the Word of the Lord and applying it and allowing it to have its way in our life, we're going to be swept up. Don't think that you can figure it out. God's Word has to be part of your daily bread. A famine of hearing. Now, I want to make a point on this. I don't think it's a famine of speaking. I don't think it is. I think we're speaking it all the time. I think you're hearing people share the Word, and you may hear it on the radio. So I don't think it's a famine of speaking. I think it's a famine of hearing. Because our hearing has went dull. We're not letting it have its way in our life. And because we've heard so much speaking from so many people, that we're not allowing it to have its way. Sometimes people don't believe the Word of God, and they don't believe what they're hearing because they've compromised within their life. So the Word that we receive, even maybe today, some of you, we just take it from a casual perspective. It's the word of man. Bob's up there talking. So it's just, we just casually, oh, it's Bob sharing and he's burning again. No, I don't want it to be that. I just told you, I don't like preparing sermons. Never have, probably never will. I love the word of God, but it's just like, for me to get up here, you guys don't understand. For years and years and years, it's like warfare 101, man, all the time. But I do it because I know that he's called me to stand and to burn for him. One thing I do know that's inside of me is a passion for Jesus. But when you take a passion and you ignite it with the word, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and that's released in you, God's asking for all of us to come up to a whole nother level in him. I mean, every one of us in this room, but you got to desire it. You got to hear it. And let it have its way within your life. It's not a same old message. It's God's word. He's beckoning every one of us. Many things will dull our appetite from real food. If you eat real good, healthy food, it's really good. But you know what? You can eat so much junk food that you don't even eat healthy food anymore. Can I get a witness anywhere? Okay. And so that junk food dulls your senses for really good cooked, I won't say fried chicken because I got to stay away from that. I have to go like this to Popeyes now when I go by. So anyway. But you understand what I'm trying to say. The junk food really dulls our appetite because we just keep hearing, going through the same old thing. And God doesn't want that in your life. It's a privilege to speak to you this morning. It's a privilege to know that every one of you have a dynamic calling of God. And I know sometimes we don't understand it, but you got to keep saying yes. You got to keep moving with God's heart. Being hurt, again, as I said earlier, being hurt by leaders who have spoken the word, and then you live in a place of unforgiveness, then that dulls your appetite for the word because you've been hurt by people that were supposed to bring you the word. Does that make sense? That's a famine. What I'm saying this morning is God's word needs our attention. God's word needs to be retained. And here's another thing. I don't know about you, but when I get around men and women that speak the word a lot and share, it does something inside of me. It causes me to hunger more for it, and it challenges me as a man of God. All of a sudden, I'll hear somebody speak, and they'll just elaborate on all these things from the Old Testament, New, and it just like charges me up, and I desire to know the word more. We should be doing that. You guys should be challenging the heck out of me, okay, about what you know in the word. That you wouldn't believe this, what I heard, you know? I read this the other day, and I got this revelation. That's how the word needs to be so active within us. And moving. It's a hunger and it's a desperation, a desire to know. God said in his word, when you hear my voice, what did he say? Do not harden your hearts. And I believe people have hardened their hearts against the word of God. I just encourage all of you this morning to press into the potential that you have in the word. The scripture also says that men and women shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How can we grow thought this morning? How can we grow in faith, hope, and love, patience, and to have forbearance for other people if we're not feasting on the word? If we live a malnourished life by not having the word a part of who we are. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. And I believe God wants to increase your hearing this morning. I believe your hearing is going to increase this morning. He's going to show you some areas in your mind that needs to change and be renewed. And change your mindset a little bit about his word. His word promises you. It will help cultivate you. It will help nurture you. It will help move you along. And you will begin to understand that it's a great privilege to read the Word of God and to know it more than you ever have. I believe that. More than you ever have. The Word does bring healing. I think I prayed that earlier. Old Testament, Psalm 107:20, it says, He sent His Word and healed them. There's healing in the Word. the Word of God and ask yourself this question, because I ask myself this question. Is the Word of God affecting my conduct? Is the Word of God affecting my relationship with other people? Is it affecting my relationship in a good way? Is it affecting my conduct and how I'm acting and the things I say? And again, moms and dads, you start blistering ministry and people. I tell you what, those children, I'm not praying this on anybody, but they will split. It says the enemy will attack those leaders in the home so that the little ones will be scattered. You cannot speak that death stuff around your children. You've got to be healed and speak life. And if you have, just say, I'm sorry. Because we're all growing. They will understand that. And I said this earlier, don't let the Word of God just fit in to your parameters. I guess what I'm saying this morning, let the Word of God have its way in your life. That's what I'm saying. Let the Word of God, the living Word of God, have its way in your life. If you've never led anybody to Jesus, if you let the living Word have its way in your life, you'll be leading people to Jesus. I'm not calling you out to be an evangelist. We're all supposed to evangelize and share the great commission, the great message. But the point that I'm making is the more that you begin to allow the Word to have its way, you're going to see things happen. You're going to get a little weird, too, in a good way. One of the things I wanted to say, don't beat somebody over the head with the Word, okay? When you know the Word, and just don't beat them over the head with it. Let the Word have its way in you. This is a true story. Back in India, this is a true story. It's crazy. We were in India. Betsy, I think, was the only one there with me in India. And there was like 10 or 12 of us over there. And we were going to church. We were out on the streets, and we were ministering with a worship team, and two of us were preaching the gospel, myself and Dan Thorolson. And we went into this church, and back then we were doing a lot of deliverance ministry and, you know, casting out demons, working with folks, great deliverance, great things happening. And we go into this church, and literally, you know what I'm going to say? Do you remember this story? There was a guy at the front where a lady was up at the altar, and the guy was literally beating her over the head with a Bible. He was beating her over the head. Come out in Jesus' name. And he was beating her with a Bible on the head. I mean, not really like viciously, but, you know, good little tap, you know, with the Bible. And do you remember that? It's crazy. That's a true story. You guys aren't really into it. But anyway, I was into it. And so Dan and I looked at each other because we had been working with folks and we had just got through doing some deliverance with somebody, and we walked up there and said, hey, and so they kind of, you know, respected us and said, can we work with her for a minute? And we began working with her, and the demon just left. We were speaking real calm, real quiet, and the demon just left completely, and Jesus came and flooded her. The Holy Spirit came, and she got saved right there, okay? She was Hindu. She had the dot, you know, and so it was just this unbelievable moment. And when we were leaving, do you remember when we were in the airport, Betsy, we were leaving, and she was working at a concession stand. Do you remember that? She was working at a concession stand, and she ran up to us, and she didn't have the dot anymore, and she was telling us what Jesus did for her just by allowing the sweet voice of Jesus to come in and deal, get the demons or mosquitoes, get them out of the way, let the truth come in. I mean, you guys that play this big thing about demons, really, they don't have nothing, okay? There's different levels, but they don't have nothing. They just freak you out, and they go back and eat popcorn and watch you freak out, okay? That's what they do, because you don't have, but when you know your authority in the Word, and you begin to walk in it, they have to respond to who you are in the authority of the Word and the Spirit. And that woman ran up to us, just couldn't believe what God did. And about how she was saved. No more dots. She was, you know, I denounced Hinduism and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's what we're talking about. The authority that we have. That's what the Word will do inside of you. Some of you aren't believing that. That's why we're going to pray in a few moments, because I want you to believe. I want you to step up. We're going to pray against any doubt in what God has. And if some of you are thinking about what time is it? How much longer? And are we going to get out of here soon? Did we take the offering? Yeah, okay, good. We're on the final stretch. You guys got to get away from that. I've got to get away from that. You just let it flow. And when the Holy Ghost hits us like we desire and been praying and believing more and more of, you may be here for a while from time to time. But guess what? If you're in the Word and in the Spirit, you're not going to do it begrudgingly. You're going to do it with joy and say, yes, more, more, more. It's time, man. It's time. It's time. Big time. And so I will close by starting to speak a little bit about the Word of God is the tree of life to me. It's the tree of Jesus. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instead of saying it's the tree of life, it's the tree of death. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's what most of us are listening to and functioning in society. But the tree of life is all about life and truth. And it's Jesus. It brings healing into your life. Going all the way back to the beginning. Don't read the Word of God with a religious purpose. Read the Word of God for life and truth. This is something I haven't worked on, but I heard it. It's like when you read the Word and you begin to let the Spirit move you in the Word, it begins to release the promises that are in it for you. All of a sudden, the promises start coming out for your life, and you say yes, and you hold on to the promises. So the tree of life releases promises in your life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil causes you to be confused, lacking in faith, being led by deception and false lies and false truths. false lies they are. False truths. But the tree of life is completely different. You know, some of you might say, well, that song Michael was doing when it says, let me dance, you know, when I move my feet, when I shop, you know that song? I don't know where you guys were at, but if you could have saw me next door in the little coffee room next door when he was rehearsing that, I had it going on, I'm telling you. I had it going on. I did. Eric, I had it going on back there. Because I was free, okay? And I did a couple circles, and then I thought, get back to going over what you're supposed to say. So the fragrance, God wants a sweet smell of fragrance coming out of your life, which is from the tree of life and from the Word of God. Secrets are waiting to be revealed in your life right now. Secrets of the Word of God. Secrets of promises that haven't even been revealed yet are awaiting you as you press into the Word of God. And what qualifies you? The blood of Jesus qualifies you. You don't need anybody to qualify you. God qualifies you. And so we're going to close by asking some of you, all of you, about the cleansing river of forgiveness. Because sometimes there might just need to be some forgiveness you need to release in here today. Jesus applied a sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice any bulls or goats or lambs. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. It's been done. Unforgiveness can affect negativity in your life in such a powerful way. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're just going to... I want you to know this morning, God gives grace for you to release anyone in this room today. Anyone that has hurt you. Any leader, any pastor. Maybe you're not able to get into the Word because when men and women stand up and represent the Word, you think about that pastor or somebody in leadership that hurt you. I want you to release them today. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to release them today. Londa, there were several things that was given to me today, and Londa, come up just real quick. Londa, this was right on the level of where I was going. God wants us to step up and take his hand, and she was seeing something.
In worship. Talk not louder, yeah. In worship, I saw a mist, and I still see. There's a mist, like a fog, over here, and I see the hand of God, of Jesus, reaching down. And his hand is very clear, and he's just saying, just grab my hand, and I will pull you. I'll pull you higher. It's a promise. The scripture talks about the hand of God coming down and pulling us up into his righteousness. And I didn't see many hands reaching for him. We get so focused on the storm, like Peter, when the disciples were in the boat and they were crossing and Jesus had stayed behind. And then the storm comes up and they're getting scared, but then they see Jesus walking on the water towards them. So not scared. He's walking on the water towards them, and Peter's yelling, crying out, you know, Lord, if it's you, call me out to walk on the water. And so Jesus does. He says, come. And Peter gets out and he walks on the water until he looks at the storm. And then he starts to sink. And what happens? Jesus' hand comes out and pulls him up and into the boat, into safety. That's what God has for you today. The hand is there. We just need to reach.
Will you pray with us? Jesus, we desire to be yielded to the Holy Spirit in this moment. Your great grace makes all things new. You give grace to release any man or any woman that we need to, any right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, just lead them. Lead them. I ask you just to forgive any leaders who have failed you or failed your expectations. Let us intercede for each other or any other area of forgiveness.
I want to know you more.
We want to know you, living Word of God.
I surrender. I surrender.
If you feel in your heart, let's just keep praying.
I want to know
that you just want to come forward and release more. That. If you want to come forward
wanna
and you want to know Jesus this morning,
I surrender.
Just come forward and let us pray for you.
I surrender.
Just release right now.
I want to know you.
Many of us need to release unforgiveness. Come.
I surrender.
Let us pray for you.
I surrender.
Yes, God.
Because I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Yes.
I surrender.
If you want to hunger for the Word of God, if there is anything in the way, may you confess it this morning and just release it.
I want to know you.
There's healing in the Word.
I surrender.
Yes, Jesus.
I surrender.
Yes, God. If you want to take his hand this morning,
I want to know you more.
He will be unashamed of you. You're unashamed of him. If you want to take his hand this morning, come forward and take his hand. Yes.
I want to know you.
We want to know you more.
I want to
May the increase of the hunger and the thirst for your word happen right now in this room, God. May we be a prepared people in your word. Living word of God, Jesus. If anyone needs healing today, I want you to raise your hand if you're out there. If you need healing. Anybody need healing? I want you to go ahead and surround him and pray for him. Anyone else? I want you to begin to surround others, the healing team, others. Surround them. Begin to pray for them. You are the body of Christ. Everyone with hand raised. I want you to gather around them and pray. Need some right over here, Amy, for Amy. Teresa, yes. Gather around them, begin to pray. Yes, God. All unforgiveness is being released in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Healing is taking place in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Understand that God looks at the hearts of the people that are here. He discerns their hearts and their needs. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep praying. Living word of God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Jesus, we come before you, and through your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace, we say no more speaking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that we're going to start speaking from this moment from the tree of life. What is life giving? Blessing, grace, mercy, kindness. So we ask for your forgiveness when we have participated corporately and individually and as families in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not the tree of life. And so from this day forward, God, we ask that you would heal us, that you would forgive us, that if children are scattered because of it, that you are new every morning and you will bring things back in Jesus' holy name. We thank you. Now may the word of God run swiftly in every man and woman, young and old, in this house, in this place. May the sweet smell of the fragrance of life begin to permeate our homes, our cars, our workplace. May thirst and hunger begin to increase for the word of God, where every secret is revealed with a promise from the tree of life and the word of the Lord. Secrets waiting to be revealed. God, I pray that you would give them hunger for the secrets that are waiting to be revealed. That sweet, sweet fragrance. As we draw near in the word through intimacy and more revelation, we stay humble and meek. Thank you for this day, God. May your cleansing river or forgiveness have its way in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We're going to keep praying. Remember, there's going to be some cake and some coffee out there in the foyer. And extend the right hand. Is that what it says? Right hand of fellowship. I think that's biblical. To John and Teresa, as John is going to be shepherding and pastoring here in the midst of the ministry. God bless you and go in peace. Amen.